Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
Hello, everybody. This episode of The Horror Show is brought to you by Barry L. Beardo, Demon City Shinjuku, and Johnny Rad. Johnny Rad, is this the Johnny Rad? I'm going to go look real quick. Hang on. I don't know if this is the Johnny Rad. I hope it is. Anyway, thank you all for donating. They donated over at patreon.com/IHateHorror. I'm recording this right now on my little handheld guy. And for some reason, one of the stereo microphones is not picking up. So I'm curious how this will even fucking sound. But yeah, you know, it is what it is, right, guys? Anyway, Rachel is back. Joe's baby is in the house. Welcome, baby Boog, to, or as I called him, what did I call it? Birthing to baby Boog-aloo. So Rachel is back for this one. We actually recorded this right after last week's. And a couple things. So you might have noticed last week I was getting a little silly. It's because I was drinking a lot of wine. Well, it really hits me in this one. I was definitely drunk. I was definitely drunk. You'll hear me, my speech is almost as bad as it is right now. It's kind of annoying. I'm a little bit annoying in it. I do recognize that. I'm sorry. More annoying than usual, I guess I should say. So, we're doing Maximum Overdrive. It's coming up next. Are You Afraid of the Dark? We mentioned in this, I don't know if we're going to do it because I can't find it streaming anywhere. So I'll keep you all posted on what is coming up next. Rachel will be around probably for a couple more weeks at least. Thank you guys so much for the support. Thanks for supporting Rachel, all the nice things you said. And enjoy Maximum Overdrive.
In class, I was thinking about the adventures of Ash, about the misfortune of sending kids to Crystal Lake. Became addicted straight away with the initial tape. God bless Betamax. VHS, holy like Amanda Kruger. I was introduced to genre flicks by Toby Hooper. I started craving more just like Larry the Looter. I collected VHS without commentary or bloopers. Throw computers, magazines, a bunch of stores. Spent my money on movies and begged my mom for more. I'd watch the boys kill those Astro bastards 5 times a day or even more. I loved the gore. Lionel and Paquita combined their lonely hearts. I was hellbound, Cenobites tore my soul apart. I've seen them all, from Dracula to Vertigo. Listen up, welcome to the Horror Show with Sean and Joe.
I should not have drank in so much wine. I just put the wine box in front of my face. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horror Show. Show it dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Rachel.
I'm 100% positive they'll be hearing the wine pouring into my glass.
I'm hearing it right now.
I feel like that's the way they should all start. This is fun. This is exciting. All right. Maximum Overdrive. 1986. Why did I decide to drink wine tonight? Directed by Stephen King.
And written.
How many authors have done this? There's a bunch, by the way. I looked it up. But not as prolific or known as Stephen King, in my opinion.
And maybe not as much of a supreme failure. as this film.
Absolutely not. I'd say probably. Well, so I found a list of authors that directed their own books, right? And right. The list is kind of big, but they included things like Clive Barker.
Oh, the.
Because
he wrote all those books.
He did write books and short stories and things like that that he based his movies on. But for some reason, and maybe this isn't fair, but I just don't count him.
Yeah, I don't think of him as like author.
Let's put it this way. He's a better director than he is an author, probably.
Yeah, I think of him as a director first.
Right. So I think to find an author first that then was like, I'm going to direct this into a movie is that's the harder thing, right?
Yeah.
William Peter Blatty, who did the Exorcist and stuff. He wrote, I don't think he wrote the first one though, but he did the third one. I don't know, man. I don't know, but here's the one that I do like. Here's the one that I do appreciate that I never really thought of. Frank Miller, who is the comic book guy.
Yes.
Brilliant comic book guy. Like, brilliant. And then direct Sin City. Good movie.
So that was a success.
That's a success in both.
Right, right.
Like, he is renowned in comic books. And
everyone who likes that movie loves that movie.
And it's a stylistic movie, so like, I think that helps with comic books. So it's a little different too, but I don't know.
But it's, yeah.
I mean, there's a story there. I mean, there's an incredible story there, like, regardless of, you know, it's coherent. I set the standard pretty low. I just started reading because my new girlfriend reads.
Are you guys, what are you guys reading right now?
So I like never read. Ever. So she was like, you should read Ender's Game. So I pick up Ender's Game and it's like a child's book. And I was like, you know, there's subtler ways to tell me I'm an illiterate piece of shit. Like, I could read big boy books too, I think. So that's what I'm starting with. But you know, like, I'll read like a book a year max. I read Salem's Lot last year. That was dope. That was dope. Stephen King is a weird writer, though.
I really love Stephen King. He is a weird writer. I've always loved Stephen King. I've been a fan of his since I was a kid.
Right.
I attempted to read It when I was a child. Pages. Yeah, I know. And that's why I didn't finish it, is because I was a child. I would say my favorite Stephen King book is one of his novella collections, Different Seasons. It has Shawshank Redemption. It has Apt Pupil, which is one of my favorite Stephen King stories. Mm-hmm. It has The Body, which was then Stand By Me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's great. And I love, I mean, he's like, some people don't like his writing because he's overly descriptive and stuff. But I don't know, maybe because like, I'm also a recovering alcoholic. I'm always like very appreciative of like reading about messy drunks.
Yeah.
He does that a lot.
I kind of dig his descriptions. His like podunk. I mean, you can tell, like, maybe it's a New England thing, but people don't realize that in New England, there are most definitely hicks up here. Like, fucking hillbillies.
Yeah. Like, he is good at his character descriptions. Like, I love his weird characters.
And I feel like he gives a voice, like a different voice to every character. And to me, that's a hard thing to do. Like, make everyone talk differently.
Right.
Like, he gives everyone a very clear voice and it makes reading those books a lot easier. Because you can hear, like, you can almost hear a different voice in everyone's head. And it's really cool.
You know what was a great Stephen King book?
What?
Was Thinner.
I never read it.
Thinner is great. And that movie, which I've seen 100 times because it's one of the worst movies ever made, in classic Stephen King fashion, like, you're either going to get a great movie based on a Stephen King book or just the worst movie ever.
You're most likely.
There's no in between. No in between.
You're most likely getting the worst.
And Thinner is like not one of the worst Stephen King movies, just one of the worst movies ever made that anyone allowed in a theater. But the book is really good.
That's crazy.
I really like the
book. I might put it on my list to do this year. I'm going to try and read a bunch of books this year. It's weird. His movies are so, or his books are so great, and they're just, they seem so hard to turn into movies. And speaking of that, the one of his shining elements, no pun intended, right, is The Shining.
Right. And he hated that movie.
He hated it. I read that he went on a tour. This is unbelievable. I've never heard anything like this. When the movie was released, he went on a media tour also, because, you know, the cast, the director, they all do the media tour to promote the film coming out. Stephen King, who is also profiting off this film, does a media tour also. And literally every place he went, he was like, I fucking hate this movie. It sucks. It's a piece of shit. It's insane. And he goes, that was in 1980. Yes. He goes on in 1986 to make this movie, Maximum Overdrive. Dude, I don't know when Stanley Kubrick died, but if I were...
99, I think.
When was it?
I think he died right after Eyes Wide Shut, like 99.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. That's right. Yeah, I forgot he did that. Yeah, so...
Stanley Kubrick was probably like, you fucking asshole. Yo,
that's what I'm saying. If I were Stanley Kubrick, I would have fucking sat at that premiere. I would have got paid whatever amount it was to sit at the premiere with him, and I would have just fucking stared at him the whole fucking time. Like, bitch, tell me. Tell me why. Tell me I'm wrong. This movie fucking sucks. All right, talk to me now, bitch. Like, talk to me now. Like, because it's insane. It is. This is insane. And for him to be like, fuck The Shining.
Which is like a cinematic masterpiece. Like, however you want to feel about it as like a horror movie or whatever. Like, just like in like, it's a great move. I love The Shining.
No matter what. Like, there's just movies. Did you, I mean, I don't want to get into it right now, but like, people are just so hypercritical of movies now.
Right.
Like Bird Box recently, people, like, there was no one that was like, yeah, it was all right. Like,
everyone had the most strong opinions.
Strong opinions. And I thought it was a really good movie.
I did too.
But there are people that were like, fucking shit. Like, stop. Just stop. Like, it's the same thing with The Shining. Yeah. I don't care if you don't like The Shining, but you can't look at it and be like, what a giant pile of shit.
I mean, even if you just look at it visually, it's a stunning movie. Like, you have to just be a contrarian asshole to think that it's a shit movie. It's objectively not a shit movie. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's not your kind of movie.
Like,
you can say that. Right. I don't like it. And there are plenty of movies that I know it's like my personal taste I don't like, but I acknowledge that I'm like, yes, I acknowledge that is critically a great film or artistically is a great film.
I get why you like it. It's just not for me. But like, to say it like The Shining, like same thing with Bird Box, like you can watch it. It's watchable. It's fun.
It's watchable. And there are good moments in it too. And it's interesting. It's a weird concept. Like, liked it.
Same with The Shining. Like, you can't look at that and be like, what a oh man, Maximum Overdrive. Let's get back to Maximum Overdrive because the soundtrack.
Oh God, I have some thoughts. First of all, I read that AC/DC is Stephen King's favorite band.
I thought it was the Ramones.
I thought it was the Ramones too. But here's the tea. Stephen King was in the height of his cocaine addiction when he made this movie, and it shows. And I'm sure, and like when you're on coke, everything is your favorite everything. So he probably just said that in some interview, like, oh, they're my favorite fucking band. I fucking love AC/DC. Like, he's just railing lines, writing this awful script, putting all these. I was so fucking, I never want to hear an AC/DC song again after watching this movie.
Dude, like, cause you know it's crazy too. You're like, you know he was coked out because every AC/DC song, I don't want to offend AC/DC fans, but
they all sound the same.
They're similar. They're similar. They're similar. They're all singing about hell vaguely. Right. And hell's bells. Like, and there's a lot of bells and a lot of riffs and a lot of heavy
TNT.
Drum beat.
And a lot of screaming.
But like, you know, like if you're I've personally never done cocaine. I've done some other amphetamines, but I have not done the cocaine. But I've done some speed related products. You know, I can imagine. Right. Popping on the Maximum Overdrive soundtrack and being like, fuck yeah.
And driving down the freeway. Right,
we're going to drive as fast as possible.
Yeah, I could see how it sounded like a good idea at the time. And like, here's the thing. Like, I personally am not an AC/DC fan, but I understand that there are people that like them and that's fine.
Sure.
I can do like one AC/DC song and I'm good.
Great. At a bar, give me a little Hell's Bells.
Right.
She Shook Me All Night Long is probably their best.
I agree.
Because that's like, at least they're not singing about like blowing shit up. I mean, maybe they are still, but like, at least it's like a love song, sort of. Like he's singing about.
Don't they have a song about balls too?
Big balls. Yes. Yeah. Who's got big balls? He's got big balls.
He's got big balls.
She's great. Got big balls. But we've got the biggest balls of them all.
Look, it's a very testosterone fueled band. Okay. Like we get it. You're straight.
We get it. Yeah. You're a man. You're a man. But She Shook Me All Night Long. That's actually the end credits song. And as happy as I was for the movie to end, I was also equally happy to hear She Shook Me All Night Long. That's just like working man. That's a working man's love song. And I appreciate that. That's like Bruce Springsteen, Thunder Road. Like,
okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like working man love song. It's like, I ain't got the words. I don't have the elegant words, but here it is, baby. Like,
right. I feel it.
You shook me all night long. Like I dig that. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's our AC/DC review. We'll see you next week. But yeah, so the soundtrack is all AC/DC.
The whole thing.
Which sounds fine until you hear it like in the background of like a normal scene and it's just like and like you're just like and people are trying to talk over it and you're like, wait, like this isn't a score, like this, you need to score these scenes. You can't just put AC/DC on in the background. It's wild.
There was a lot of cocaine inspired choices.
Oh, like, for sure.
Once I like realized that, I was like, oh, this was like the height of his addiction. Then everything, all of these choices in the movie made a lot more sense to me. Everything.
Yeah. I was actually telling those stories to, I was talking to my gal pal about Stephen King's, like, she was asking about the movie I was watching and I was like, yeah, he directed this, but this was like when he was like in the midst of like a cocaine fueled hellscape, like right. Insane. And she had no idea. And I was like, he wrote Cujo and like woke up one day and a publisher was like, this book's great. And he was like, what? He's like, I didn't write a book about a dog. And they were like, you most definitely did, and you sent it to us, and we're publishing it. And he was like, oh, shit. Like, that's insane. Like, that is honestly speaks more volumes about his talent than anything else.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he just churns them out, too. Like, I have never seen a more productive drug addict in my life. Prolific.
He's prolific. But the idea that you can... be so high that you don't remember writing a book. And it's like, it not only is a bestseller, but they turn it into a fucking movie. Like, that's every writer's dream. And Stephen King's like, right. I don't remember. Don't even remember that bullshit. I would never write a book about a dog now. And every struggling writer is like, God damn it. Like, son of a bitch. Like, they work so hard. It just goes to show you, like, you just, you just got to let it go, man. Like, just do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Just write that screenplay.
Write that dog book.
The dog.
Write that fucking dog book you've been dreaming about. This one, we are so off topic and so far ahead again. Two golden raspberries, one for King as the director, and one for Estevez as an actor. Estevez, abysmal.
Awful.
Awful.
Also, he looks like fucking shit in this movie.
Looks terrible.
He's like sunburnt the whole movie. And he has like pink eye. Like, I swear to God, like the first shot of him in the movie, like his eyes look like shit. It's awful.
Fun fact, though, they both lost.
Oh, who won?
Prince. Oh. For Under the Cherry Moon, which I've never seen.
I haven't either.
So I can't even talk about it, but that's thrilling. Prince, that must have really hit him hard.
It must have been really, yeah, yeah.
Fucking, what's the name of his estate? Paisley Park?
Yeah.
That place must have been...
in shambles.
Quiet for a long time. No one's saying a peep. None of his helpers saying a fucking word after that. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, let's talk about this opening scene.
Oh yeah, yeah. So real quick, $9 million budget, made 7.4 at the box office. Three of those are American.
God.
So he really cleaned up overseas, really.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, let's get into the movie. We will open as we close the movie with text, as an author would do.
Right.
On June 19th, 1987, at 9:47 a.m., the Earth passed into the extraordinarily diffused trail of Rhea M, a rogue comet. According to astronomical calculations, the planet would remain in the tail of the comet for the next 8 days, 5 hours, 29 minutes, and 23 seconds. That's what we... Sure. I'll roll with
okay.
it.
Okay.
I'll go All with right. it.
Yeah.
Next, we see a city of some sort. And we're at a bank, and they've got like a scrolling ticker just displaying news and stuff. Stephen King. Wait, okay. Then the ticker changes to fuck you. It's just flashing fuck you on it. And then Stephen King's at an ATM, and the ATM starts saying, "You're an asshole. You're an asshole. You're an asshole."
Which I loved, because I was like, yeah, if the ATM should be calling him an asshole, because like he's already making this cameo in the film. He's like the first person in the film.
Right.
And the ATM knows what's coming for the next 90 minutes. Like, you're a fucking asshole.
You're a dickhead. And then it immediately just cuts into AC/DC. No explanation for what we right. just saw whatsoever. But already, you know, machines have a mind of their own. Which... this is a theme that a feeling I just had throughout the whole movie, which is like, I feel like everyone, it's just a really confusing movie.
This movie had so much potential. Like, the concept had so much potential.
So have you ever seen Carrie?
Of course.
So I saw Carrie last year, and I thought I hated Carrie because it was about a car with a mind of its own.
That's Christine.
Oh, Christine. I'm so sorry. Christine.
Okay, see, I haven't seen Christine since I was a little kid, and I don't remember it.
I hated it as a kid because I was like, who wants to see it?
It's about a car with a mind of its own.
Correct.
That's why I've never rewatched it.
So, watched it last year. It's a fucking good movie. It's a fucking
really?
Good movie. Yeah, it's really fucking good. It's really fucking good. And so... I was shocked. I could not even believe it. So I went into this with like pretty high hopes.
Yeah.
I don't know how he fucked it up. I don't know. I don't know how he fucked it up because somebody else already did it. Let me look up when Christine came out, because that movie, like, I mean, did John Carpenter do that movie? Yeah, he did. John Carpenter directed
it.
Yeah. All right. So that was 83. So yeah, so 3 years prior to this, so the formula was there and he was just like, no, needs more AC/DC and less sense. Because my problem with this is like, I guess my issue with like, everyone in the world should have known what was happening.
Also, they really missed an opportunity to show the rest of the world. Like, one of my favorite things about like disaster movies or survival movies in this sense, like, I like seeing, oh, what else is happening everywhere else? Like,
right.
What's fucking Paris doing? Like,
yeah.
What's China up to?
I mean, and at the end of the movie, oh my God, the end of the movie is fucking insane. The written piece on the screen at the end, like, makes you wish that they had filmed a different movie.
I agree.
Because what we see here, like, the whole time I was just like, why isn't this a national emergency? Why aren't we just like, I don't know.
How about the fact that halfway through the movie, no one's even asked the question of what the fuck is going on? Like, no one's trying to figure this out. Everyone just sort of accepted. Everyone's
like, right.
In complete acceptance that all this bad stuff's happening. But no one's been like, hey, we should try and figure out how to stop this. Not once.
I didn't even think about that. And quite honestly, no one questions it. Not ever does anyone be like, why do they, like, there's but never
why?
A question.
There's no.
They're just like, oh shit, they got a mind of their own.
Right. There's no question.
This is quite possibly one of the most alarming circumstances you could ever put yourself in.
Right.
Wow. That's something else. So everyone know, okay, so the machines get a mind of their own. We open with a bridge, like a drawbridge that lifts itself up and causes the biggest mess of the movie.
Right, this is like the last, you will be even slightly in suspense.
The bridge goes up and all these cars start slamming into each other like they're going into a 100-mile-per-hour head-on collision, but they were all stopped on the bridge, like nothing.
Right,
they would all just maybe slowly roll back into each other.
I like the guy in the truck who thinks about getting out, but then he's like, no, I better try and drive over this thing.
He is on the peak of the bridge. He's in between the two bridges.
He could have escaped. He could have easily escaped, and he thinks about it, but he doesn't. He gets back in the car,
and
he tries to drive. Fucking idiot.
No, my favorite was the car that was going like 2 miles per hour and crashes, and the woman goes through the windshield.
Yes! Yeah.
It was one of the most brutal things I've ever seen in a movie. And it, like, it hurt your heart. And you're like, wait, but she was going like 3 miles per hour.
It was so bad.
She goes through the windshield.
And the watermelons, they're like coming from the sky.
The watermelons are 100% coming from the sky. AC/DC's tour bus is there, but they couldn't they couldn't get the band, so it's just a bus with AC/DC painted on it. It's one of the most painfully slow things. We meet Green Goblin Truck.
Oh, right.
Who is on the cover, on the advertising. He's every picture you fucking see. And this truck has nothing to do with anything.
Also, this truck is the most menacing looking children's toy truck I've ever seen in my life.
Happy Toys.
Called Happy Toys. And on the side, oh my God, I wrote it down. What did it say? It said like something about here comes another load. No, here comes another load of joy. That's what it said. This is so fucked up.
Loads of joy, brother. That's all we're that's all we're distributing, right, Stephen? fucking high ass Stephen King just being like, loads of joy. And Emilio, he's a line cook.
Oh yeah.
He's a line cook at a gas station /
grossest
diner.
Fucking breakfast I've ever seen in my life.
And his boss is like Dallas from JR. Or no, JR from Dallas.
Yes, he has definitely a cigar.
I'm definitely a little drunk. JR from Dallas. He's like, it's so weird. He's like a plantation owner.
Why is he working at this truck stop? Like, why is he there?
Emilio?
No, JR.
Yeah, this guy should be off site. Like, but instead right. he's got an office and he's like dealing with the day to days.
Right. He's like, wearing a suit. He's a wearing tycoon. A suit.
He's a tycoon.
He is a tycoon.
And Emilio is a parolee. And that's how this fella JR from Dallas has Emilio by the balls, because he's like, I'm gonna fire you, and then you'll never get a job because you're a fucking felon. And Emilio's like, you piece of shit. So, by the way, guys, this episode I feel like is gonna I feel like it's already there, but it's basically like drunk history. Which your boyfriend was on.
He was on it twice.
That's fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
Tell him to hook me up.
Maybe we'll do his horror movie sometime.
Oh, what is it?
Session 9.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Wait, that came out a while ago, right?
Yeah, like in 2001.
Oh, shit. That's cool. Yeah, I remember.
Okay, so... Yeah, this will be like drunk history.
This is pretty close. I'm already doing like, and then Emilio said. And it's not at all what Emilio says, but. So Emilio's at this gas station. It's a truck stop. It's a fucking truck stop. Meanwhile, and like this adds to like the craziness of all this. Every machine, like everything is going haywire, right? Oh no, I have the hiccups.
Oh no.
This is all a nightmare. Okay. So everything is everything's
all the machines are turning on, including an electric knife. Like one of those turkey carving knives a novelty knife that's like electric that uses that? Who
you
uses
are
those?
So coastal elite. That is a tried and true tool of the kitchen. Of us middle class, you have to have that to carve a turkey. We don't have them fancy knives with the crystal edges, the diamond edges.
You have the motorized turkey knife, but the turkey knife starts going off and it cuts the waitress in the arm, like this really brutal gash in the arm.
Her. It targets her though, like. It's far away from her, and it goes.
And it's painful, and it goes deep in her arm. And this fucking asshole customer is like, "Oh, sweetheart, you get a boo boo," and she's like bleeding profusely, like it's getting all over the floor, and they're like making fun of her. Listen, I was so upset.
I'd feel bad for her if she didn't spend the rest of the movie screaming at machines. Screaming at the machines, "We made you. You can't do this to us. We made
it's not fair." It's
unbelievable. It's unbelievable dialogue. It's A plus. Like, as bad as this movie is, I rated it on Letterboxd. I gave it a 2 on Letterboxd, which I feel like is kind of generous.
That is generous.
But I liked it. I also gave it the heart, which means you like it. Okay. Because, like, I want to tell everyone about this movie. I want everyone to see this movie. I feel like you need to watch it once just to be like, what the fuck? Dude, this woman goes outside. All these machines are trying to kill her. And she's like, "We made you." It was like her Charlton Heston moment. Charlton Heston moment from Planet of the Apes. "You bastard. You damn you dirty bastards." Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. Oh my God. She's amazing. But like, here's the thing, like all this shit is going haywire. Like, but like you said, like no one is acknowledging it.
No, they're just like, "Uh-oh, better get a Band-Aid."
No one's like, "This is fucking crazy." There's a man that's in the arcade of the diner, and like glass is exploding. It's shooting money and product out. And this guy, everyone's like, "Wow, that's fucking weird."
Well, the tycoon guy's like, oh, look at this mess in here. And there's like a dead body in the corner.
At worst, they could have been like, oh, that piece of shit tried to rob us. Like, and then some, like, right. That, like, honestly, like, that's all I could think about was them coming in and being like, oh, he tried to rob us. But then like the voice of reason being like, but look, none of it's broken.
Right.
Like to reveal, you know, like the machine was spitting it out. But that's not even close
and look,
to what
he's also dead and electrocuted and like sizzling in the corner. He's just like, look at this fucking mess.
Oh my God. And not only are these machines have a mind of their own, but they're premeditated, right? And
right.
Because when you see this, because a guy's trying to pump gas, and the machines that they choose to say are.
It makes no sense.
Makes no sense whatsoever. Because literally everything, some of the things that come to life are not electric. Or
also, this movie has less laws in it than Hatchet. Which is saying something. Which is saying something. Because there's other things that I'm like, why isn't that coming to life? There is a scene where there's a radio broadcast being like, don't trust any machines. It's like, how are you recording this?
You're insanely right. Like, it's like, unplug everything. But then we'll see things that aren't even plugged in that are coming to life.
Right.
It doesn't make fucking any sense whatsoever. The gas pump. Diesel into a guy's eyeballs, but because it tricks him, because it stops pumping gas until he looks in the hole, and then
you never look in the hole.
And you never look in a hole. You never. That's my one rule in dating. You never look in a hole.
You never look in a hole.
you never do that. And he does it, but like it's like premeditated. Like the gas pump was like, wait till he looks in the hole, and then squirt him with the diesel.
And it blinds him.
Well, yeah, I don't think Diesel does it.
That's what I was wondering. Like, wouldn't that just be like kind of annoying?
One time my dad poured gasoline on me to like wash. I forget what was on me. No. Like, I think I had like tar on me or something. And he was like, yeah, just pour gas all over me.
Gas?
Gas.
Is that a thing?
I'll have to ask him. But he also said, don't tell my mom. So I don't think it was a I think gas is just like super corrosive. Maybe it would fuck up your eyes. I don't know. I mean, it's not going to be good.
No, it's not going to be good or fun. But he was like blinded immediately. He was like in pain. Like,
yeah, no, yeah. Like, oh no. Like he was like, like I thought he was going to die from it.
I did too. It was like an overreaction.
It was a very big overreaction. We meet a kid.
Oh, yeah.
After the woman gets attacked by the saw. We meet a boy at a baseball game, a Little League game.
This is insane. This whole fucking scene.
And this scene sums up the movie, though. It's just out of control.
I think it's my favorite scene in the whole movie.
I agree. I completely agree. So for some reason, a coach goes up to a Coke machine and the Coke machine just starts shooting Cokes at his dick.
And he doesn't move out of the way.
He does not. And then he gets kneecapped, so he falls to his knees, and then it brains him with a Coke can, killing him. Blunt force trauma.
Instantly.
In front of all the kids, causing all the kids to be like, ah, and they all start running away.
But not before the Coke machine starts spitting out all the sodas at the children, like hitting the children. Like we are watching little kids being assaulted by these soda cans.
And one kid is like, I'm going to put on my, I'm going to put on my catcher's mask and get a closer look, which does nothing. Then he runs away. And then we get this weird scene where like it cuts and there's a kid riding his bike, trips in the outfield.
Oh yeah. For no reason. What about the kid who gets run over by the steamroller?
Same kid.
Oh, that's how he gets. Okay.
Yeah, because right. they're like, we need a kid on the ground.
But there's no reason for him to flip over on his bike. Like the bike is not a machine, like an electronic machine. There's no reason for that. Like the bike starts going haywire for some reason.
Yeah.
And he flips in the air on his bike. It's really funny. It's like played for laughs almost. But then he gets fucking run over by a steamroller, which, by the way, why is there a steamroller in the middle of a baseball
team? Dude, the steamroller is coming at 100. I've never seen a steamroller go so fast.
It's so fast. It's going so fast. And you see him.
It fucks that kid up.
He gets fucked up.
He's dead. And you don't see a single part of that kill, really. And it's still fucking churns your stomach a little bit.
Yeah, it's fucking gross.
It's a kid being flattened. Oh, my God. We also now meet a woman hitchhiker.
Oh, God.
Who, we don't know her story, but she's hitchhiking. And a guy is just sexually assaulting her the entire time. Right. He's just like, all right, baby, when are you going to give it up? But she's a strong-willed woman, sort of, and ultimately makes him pull over.
She's a terrible actress, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And Green Goblin, like tries to run them over, the Green Goblin truck, but no can do. And again, it's like the super weird part. Like, no one's like, holy shit, that car just tried to run me over, and there's no one in it. Like, no one even says that.
No one even calls, like, the police. No one does anything. Like, any kind of, like, instinct that you think people would do when there's, like, a situation happening, no one does any of it.
This movie is fantastic. then we meet a married couple who's just driving around.
It's Lisa. It's Lisa Simpson.
Dude, I knew she looked familiar, which is weird to say about a voice, but I knew that that was her. I couldn't figure out if she was Janine from Ghostbusters.
Oh, you fucking Zelda. Zelda Rubinstein.
No. Zelda, yes. Zelda was also came to my mind, which is weird. But the woman that played Janine from Ghostbusters.
Janine.
Ghostbusters.
Oh, Ghostbusters. Oh, Annie Potts. For some reason, I'm
Annie Potts. Annie Potts. Guys. Yes.
Annie Potts. Yeah. Well, they both have very distinctive voices.
Very raspy. Yeah. A voice made for radio, too. You know what I'm saying?
You don't think. Well, Annie Potts kind of looks different in everything she does.
Okay. Annie Potts. Yes. I was just about to say, there's some roles where Annie Potts looks fucking good.
Right. And then there's some roles where you're like, wow.
Wow. She looks like a real Annie Potts.
Right.
All right. So
Lisa Simpson's in the car with her new husband.
Yeah, which I didn't fully understand this, but they go to a rest stop, which I thought was the one that they were at.
But I did too. It took me the longest time.
Everyone's dead. Everyone's fucking dead. And then a tow truck tries to kill them, but they escape. Now,
right.
I was super confused at the child and this married couple, but they will both end up at the truck stop eventually. But there was it was really bizarre. Emilio goes out. He starts checking out the truck. This is like a state of emergency already, though, so I don't understand. Whatever.
Their choices are baffling.
Emilio goes to check out the truck, and the truck is adjusting. The truck is adjusting its side view mirror to spy on Emilio. So what are the truck's eyes?
Right, they're not the headlights. It's not the Green Goblin's face.
What it like the light like so? I don't understand anything. I don't understand
either.
Emilio's character, his name is Bill.
Fuck that, he's Emilio.
He's Emilio. And he meets Brett, who is the lady hitchhiker, who she shows up. And you know, that love connection is immediate.
She even says to him, she's like, "You're cute."
Yeah, they don't really waste a whole lot of time. There's not a lot of subtlety in this film. While Hell's Bells is playing in the background. and meanwhile, the last remaining child at the baseball field is riding his bike home, and he's like, "Huh, something weird's happening." Literally, they're showing everyone dead around.
The whole neighborhood's dead.
Dead. And we hear the news, and they're like, so they do know. The world knows that this is happening, which was my confusion. Because you're watching this and you're like, does anyone know? Like,
But that's the only time you see the news thing happening is when it's on this kid's bike and you hear the news. And it's like, well, if this guy on the news is saying, don't trust any machines, unplug all your machines, how is the guy reporting the story not fucking dead? He's around like 100 machines right now.
How about the dead dog in the road?
That was unnecessary. It was so fucking unnecessary. I'm so upset about that.
So excessive.
It was awful. It was, and it, you know what? That takes like a creative, sick fuck to come up with that tableau right there.
The dog
that
was
scene. He had like a toy cop car in his mouth with blood coming out of it.
That was crazy. I don't know if any movie has, like, there's movies that do animal deaths, but I don't know if there's any movie that shows the dead dog with its eyes open. You know what I mean?
Gruesome.
It was alarming. It was fucking alarming.
It was alarming.
It was crazy. That was fucking wild. So that happens. Green Goblin now runs. Green Goblin just randomly runs over people. Dude, there's so many characters in this movie. At the end, at the end, they were still like showing people that I was like, should I give a fuck about this guy? Like,
I was like, was that person? Is this a new character? Have we met this person?
I thought I wasn't paying attention because there are two people at the end of the movie that I was like, who are you?
I think we're talking about the same person. The guy who stole the diamond.
Yes. Yes.
I was like, wait, who is that guy?
I could not fucking put that together. And then there are scenes like in the truck stop where the truck stop is like full of people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, packed. Who are these people? It's thinking. Wild. It's wild. So the Green Goblin will occasionally run these people over. And he does so right now. He also hits the hitchhiker person's car. And the hitchhiker, the guy that was driving the hitchhiker, gets pushed into a lake by the truck. That sentence is correct. A man gets pushed into a lake by a truck. A truck that is trying to kill people pushes him into a lake where he will reside for the rest of the movie and later be like, I'm stuck in here. I'm stuck in the lake. And it's so fucking weird. It's so weird. Then the trucks, they kind of all just go take a nap.
Right.
This movie is The Mist, but
The Mist was actually more suspenseful than this.
Well, sure, because they were like, what's outside? But I think if you take away the fog, it's just trucks because.
Oh, for sure.
Because this movie is people trapped in a store.
Right.
But
kind of go and stir crazy
instead of. But not they don't even do that effectively. Right.
No, they don't do it enough. They try. They attempt. But nothing. It's more just like a shut up.
Yeah, it's like everyone shut the fuck. But there's trucks just circling the building the entire movie.
Right, like they can't escape. It's so bad.
But here's the other thing. They're gonna run out of gas eventually.
Wait a minute.
Now gets addressed. This ends up getting addressed. But at this point in time, you're like, just wait for the trucks to run out.
Right. Right.
Because. On the radio, they specifically said, just unplug everything and you'll be fine.
I also just like that this isn't just machines. It's like, it's about machines coming to life, but it's really just about trucks coming to life.
But that's like the problem. Like, it's everything comes to life, but for some reason, they're really focused on trucks.
It's just so boring to me.
So much so that Emilio Estevez's big escape plan is like, we're going to go to this island called Haven. And guess what? No vehicles are allowed there. That's not the fucking problem, Emilio. Everything, right. Everything that is mechanical can kill you.
What about when Emilio is having a full-on conversation with that guy while he's shitting in the bathroom?
Oh my God. That is my favorite thing. It's coming up, I think. I think it's coming up. Wait.
Okay. Yes.
It is. Okay. So the married couple, they're still on the run. They defeat a truck pretty easily. Like they make a truck go off a cliff.
Right.
And then they end up deciding to go to the truck stop. And they're saved by Emilio. Which is weird because like there are scenes where Emilio and this married couple, he saves them. But they're just sitting in the parking lot being circled by trucks that want to kill them.
Yeah.
And this is another thing. At any point, the end of the movie, like not to jump ahead, but the end of the movie is all the trucks destroy this building by running into it.
Why couldn't they just do that in the first place?
Ever. At any point. Why was Emilio, like they could see Emilio talking to these people. Like just run them over, but that doesn't happen.
It makes no sense.
It's so weird. Also, an airplane tries to kill that kid who's riding his bike.
Right, but that's the only time you ever see the airplane. Yeah. He never comes back.
Oh no, you see it at the end because it dive bombed a car. I don't know why it's killing its brethren, but it does. It makes no sense. And then we get the scene of this guy on the toilet.
He's it's like so having gross. A hard time in there. It is so disgusting so unnecessary.
This guy's having some serious diarrhea.
This is not the first time in a movie I've seen someone have a full-on conversation with someone else while they're shitting and having like painful diarrhea and just acting like who is this? Who are these writers that are like, yeah, this is like a normal thing that people do.
All right, wait. That does happen in men's restrooms.
No, it does not.
Wait. Okay, you're right. It does not happen in men's restrooms, but my friend Buzz was notorious for this.
That's awful.
He would be I've never heard somebody like, well, although I'll be honest, like he was never, I don't think, if memory serves me right, he was never pooping while talking, but okay. We would be in a public restroom, like me and him, and we'd both be using the bathroom, and he would be like, and somebody would be like having like diarrhea, like this guy, like audible diarrhea. And Buzz would be like, oh Jesus Christ. And like my heart would stop. Like I would not say anything. And I'd be like, dude, shut up. And he'd be like, it fucking stinks in here.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it was bad. No, this is crazy because like Emilio's talking to him. And here's the other thing that kind of pissed me off. Because if I were this actor, I would be pissed. Because I guarantee you, they were like, they did not tell him that they were going to dub in like the most grotesque, like, like in the middle of their conversation.
Right. It was just happening throughout the whole conversation, but he was not reacting to it at all.
No. They're having like just legitimate dialogue and then they're dubbing in like, it's insane. It's insane. It's wild.
It's so gross.
It's so fucking disgusting. And this guy also, while he's taking a shit, is like telling this guy where there's a surplus of guns and why this is in the movie again, I don't understand. But they find the biggest stash of weapons I've ever seen.
Including a fucking bazooka.
And the boss is like, you piece of shit, you better not take my... Like, dude, it's the end of the world. Like, he's not even like, don't take them, I want them. He's like, I'm going to call your parole officer.
Like, all right, go ahead. Call him. He's dead.
Insane. It's insane, dude. And this is also the first chance we get of the, we made you.
Oh, yeah.
This woman comes out screaming at the truck circling the building. She's like, we made you. You can't do this to us. It's very interesting. Yeah, it's very weird. So Emilio comes up with a plan, and I think it's to shoot the shoot the trucks. But for some reason they go through a sewer.
Oh yeah.
And then they find the kid, and I have a real problem with this sewer too. Like
I do too. This whole scene, because the guy there's a point in the sewer. They're like climbing through sludge and sewage, like raw sewage. It's disgusting. And all of a sudden a rat comes by and the guy is like, oh.
And Emilio's like, oh, look at that rat. And also the they're in a sewer that is made of wood. The walls are made of wood, which I don't think exists anywhere on Earth. Like, there's nowhere. Maybe ancient Rome's, like, aqueducts.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
The first aqueducts were probably made of wood. But they were probably quickly like, hey, man, you know what would work better than wood?
Yes.
We should probably use stone. Yeah, stone. Stone seems a little bit better. And I don't understand the point of this scene at all, but it's really long and they play AC/DC, of course. And they get the kid and they bring him back. And Emilio kills a truck with his bazooka. And everyone's like, yeah. And I'm so confused because it does, like, there's 10,000 trucks circling.
Right.
And not only are there 10,000 trucks circling you, but there's probably 10 billion trucks in America. So, like,
yeah, you're fucked.
You're fucked. Like, that's the only thing you should be thinking right now. Anyway.
All their plans are terrible.
I fell asleep during this movie.
I had to pause it and, like, get up and walk around. And like, I was like, this is a cult classic, right? Like, people like this movie.
They're showing it at Connecticut Cult Classics this month. Which, listen, I'll tell you this, though. Watching a movie like this at a cinema with a bunch of people is actually cool. Everyone's laughing. Like, it's right. Fun.
I mean,
that's
what I realized. Like, oh, I have to watch this with somebody else. Like, I can't just watch this by myself, like, taking notes.
It's not a film. It's not a film. All right. So while this is all going on, a bulldozer shows up, and so does the littlest car with a gun attached to it, which was clearly just like, we need a car with a gun.
This is like an 8-year-old boy wrote this movie. And then a bulldozer shows up, and then a car, but it has a gun on it.
And the gun starts firing into the building. It kills the asshole owner, a couple other guys along with it, but like, whatever. And then the lady starts screaming again. She grabs the bazooka for some reason and goes outside. So I thought she was going to shoot something. But instead she just holds the bazooka and just starts screaming, "We made you again."
Right.
But she does manage to blow up a truck after she's killed.
And she gets killed, though. Yeah.
Then the truck with the gun. Okay, so to make matters worse. So you're questioning, again, the rules make no sense. Do they have eyes? Clearly. They use their rearview mirrors. Do they hear? I don't know. Because some scenes they talk in front of them. And I don't know. This scene, the truck, the car, not a truck. It's like this little shitty car. Starts doing Morse code with its horn.
And the little kid knows Morse code.
The kid's like, hey, man, I got my merit badge in Morse code. Hang on 1 second.
He writes it down so fast.
And it says, someone must pump the fuel. Someone must do this now. Someone will not die. If you don't, you all will die. So that's a truck talking. You can tell by its broken English. And then somebody starts comparing the trucks to Nazis. I don't know. Something weird happens because Emilio's like, I'll fuel them up. And then somebody's like, hey, don't you remember the Nazis?
Right, right.
And Emilio's like, oh, shit, whatever. And then
I do not understand the logic behind this. They're like, Emilio is like, we got to. They're hungry. We have to fill them up.
Dude, this makes everything that happens here on out makes no sense whatsoever. Emilio goes up to Green Goblin truck and starts talking to it again.
Yeah.
Later on, they will talk openly in front of trucks as if they don't hear. But he goes up to Green Goblin truck and starts talking to it like a drug deal. Did you remember that scene?
It was so embarrassing.
He's like, I got all the uncut stuff on the other side of town.
Right. You tell all your boys.
Like, you tell them. And I thought this was like part of a plan to escape, but it's not.
No. He's literally just doing it to like, yeah, I'm going to service all of the trucks and then in the whole county.
Then Emilio starts pumping the first truck he sees. And like collapses on himself as if he's like pulling the oil from the earth himself. And like a trucker
exhausted.
A trucker comes out and has to pick him up, carry him to the building. And he's like, I can't pump no more. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, like there's this whole montage after where there's all of these trucks lining up. You see them like on the freeway exit, like getting off to this truck stop. And there's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of trucks. Like the trucks were like, oh.
Oh, I miss that. So he's fueling up all the trucks in the world.
Yes. They're all coming to this gas station. And it's like this whole dumb montage with AC/DC. And they're all filling up the trucks, like the whole crew is. And they're all exhausted doing it. And
how did I not see this? I don't understand.
It's like 100 degrees out. Like it shows the thermometer and it's like it's 100 degrees and they're all just like filling up the trucks with gas for some reason. It makes no sense.
I missed this entire thing and that is so funny.
It's awful.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So the gun car shows up again and Emilio's like, I've got a plan. Also, this plan could have been executed at any point because Emilio just walks up to the gun car and is like, and then just spins it and throws a grenade inside of it, blowing it up, The trucks are still circling, by the way. And no,
right.
They could have just run them over.
Fuck this guy.
Oh, God. So
Meanwhile, that little boy, this whole movie, he is not scared at all.
Yeah. Which is weird because his dad's dead.
Right.
Well, the whole gang, they decide to go through a toilet hole cover. Well, it's sewer. I guess that's what it's called. A sewer. A sewer. They do the sewer thing, which I guess was, I don't know. I guess that was the plan. So they take the sewer away from the gas station. And then once everyone leaves, then all of a sudden the trucks are like, fuck them, crap, destroy the building. And then they destroy the building, but no one's in there.
Right. Like too late.
And also in an age of like IG, like Instagram, like Russian car videos, like car crash videos, right. This demolition is so boring. Like,
it's all of the action in this is boring.
You're right, because it's just trucks like hitting shit.
Right, like there's no creative deaths.
No. And the gas station blows up, and then the remaining trucks just drive away.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the entire crew, they start walking towards that marina to get
their boat.
Why aren't boats? The boats would be alive too.
Right. They have motors.
Well, the Green Goblin also knows that that's where they're going. So Green Goblin's following them. Everyone's armed with guns too. And I don't know why. Because I want to say the guns do nothing. But in this scene, an ice cream truck shows up and they're like, fucking shoot it. And they shoot it, and the fucking truck flips ass over tea kettle onto its back from bullets.
And explodes.
They get to the marina. They're getting on the boat. And one guy starts stealing a diamond ring from a dead woman, which is, you know.
What is the point of that?
I don't know. And Green Goblin runs him the fuck over. And then Emilio pops out of nowhere and he's like, adios, motherfucker.
And then it just ends.
He shoots a rocket launcher into it. And everyone cheers. AC/DC plays. And they're on a boat that easily could kill them. But they're like, yeah, we're going to an island with no cards.
But then it says there's like that long thing.
I have it written down. I have it down. It says, okay, so they drive away. That's it. Freeze frame. And then we get a shitload of text on the screen.
And it's there for a long time.
And it is insane because it's like what the movie should have been about.
Right. Right.
And it says, 2 days after, a large UFO was destroyed in space by a Russian, quote, weather satellite, unquote. Now, that alone is like, wait.
What's that
Why
story?
Were we talking about the fucking aliens?
Right.
And then it said, then it continues, which happened to be equipped with a laser cannon and a class 4 nuclear missile. Okay, I guess. There's a little Sputnik reference here. Okay, cool. But then it says, approximately 6 days later, the Earth passed beyond the tail of the Rhea M exactly as predicted. So was it even aliens? What does the aliens have to do with anything?
I read that paragraph over 4 times and I could not figure it out.
A, it's a better story than the movie we just watched. But B, it still makes no fucking sense whatsoever. And then after that, we get one more little line here and it shows up and it says the survivors of the Dixie Boy, which was the gas station truck stop, are still survivors. What does that even fucking mean? Everyone fucking survived. It's not like if it were isolated and like they couldn't come back to be like, hey, the trucks tried to kill us because everyone was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'd be like, I get it. Like, there's still survivors, even though no one believes them. But this was a worldwide phenomenon.
Right.
And then she shook me all night long, place. And that's the end of the movie. Bow. Bow. Now. Now. Oh, man. I fucking love it. I fucking love it.
Oh, God.
It's fantastic.
It was so absurd.
This one is not streaming anywhere. You're going to have to, or was it? No, it was not streaming.
No.
Besides my Dropbox. So Rachel, would you recommend this to somebody?
I would recommend it in the sense that it's something you have to see just as a fan of horror and film, just because I had known about this movie for a very long time, but this was actually just the first time I'd gotten around to seeing it. So I would have seen it eventually just because I know the story behind it, that it was like a big bomb, you know, Stephen King's worst movie, and he directed it and he wrote it. So I feel like I have to recommend it on that basis. Just like you have to see it to believe it.
That is 100% accurate. Like for Stephen King historians alone, you have to watch the movie that made him be like, yeah, I'm never directing anything ever again. Ever again. Fuck ever everyone. Again. I'm not touching movies ever again. Y'all make them. Y'all can embarrass yourselves making this, but I ain't doing it.
And you know what? I admire that self-awareness in him, that at least he had the self-awareness in the end where he was like, you know what? This is not my forte to direct movies.
Yeah, that was a solid read by him. good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah, no, that was good. But yeah, what a fucking flick.
What a movie.
Do you know what you want to watch next week?
Oh my God. Just pick out of my ass right now.
Yeah, sure.
Well, fuck. I mean, I didn't even really think about this yet. I mean, I would love to watch Are You Afraid of the Dark?
You want to do Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, cool. So we will we'll post it on our Instagram, what episodes we choose. Is that like on Hulu or anything?
It might be on Amazon. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll check. We'll let everyone know. Not that we ever give a shit, but, you know, whatever.
We'll discuss which episodes we want to watch and then we'll post about it.
That sounds perfect.
Okay, cool.
All right, so that's it, Rachel. Thank you so much for joining us. Plug your show. Plug your show again here.
Hollywood Crime Scene. That is my true crime show. It's also comedy. And you can find me on Twitter at The Rachel Fisher. You can find me on Instagram at Childlike Empress. And you can become friends with us on our Facebook page at Hollywood Crime Scene Friends.
That sounds fantastic. She does a great show, guys. If you like our show and you like true crime, you're going to fucking love her show. And it's crazy, right? Like the amount of our fans that have been posting. I've been like tagging you and shit.
Yeah.
Where our fans are like, oh my God, I love this podcast. And I think that is crazy. I think it's super weird. And I've been
I love it.
I've been like, I know her.
That's so sweet.
But yeah. It's cool. It's cool. All right. So that's it. Facebook.com/IHateHorror. IHateHorror.com. Rate, review, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. I'm on Instagram at IHateHorror. And that is a wrap. We're going to do something for Are You Afraid of the Dark next week, I think. And we'll keep you all posted on that. And that's it. So for Joe and Rachel, Joe's baby's probably born by the time this fucking pops out. So maybe congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Congrats, Joe.
And yeah, so that's it. fuck Joe, man. Anyway, so for Joe and Rachel, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios. I wanna play. I'm gonna watch what I'm not supposed to watch. Dismember. A fucking zombie getting sliced and diced. A monster. Mutilate. And butcher. That's it, guys.